It's all about your relationship to it. It's all about your perspective. And if you can use food as a tool to get in touch with yourself and to find your own sense of self-worth and awareness, I want people to learn to be resilient with food, that they don't need to be this delicate little flower that can't ever be exposed to anything and that we need to avoid it for the rest of our lives. But you have to develop your own relationship with it.
Welcome to The Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. If you enjoy this episode, please leave us our review, comment, and share it with your fellow manifestor that's struggling or could really benefit from the information that you're about to learn. So before kicking off this episode, I just have to completely step back and say the biggest thank you to every single listener. We hit over 1 million downloads a few episodes back, and all of us are just completely floored by that. I mean, we're under a year and that's happened, and that's completely due to each and every one of you that are sharing on Instagram or sharing with family and friends that might identify with an expander you're hearing about or are interested in a grounded approach to manifestation that really works. It's all due to you. And a major thank you to all of the positive reviews we've received and, you know, the stars. I read them and I'm so grateful. And so I just had to say thank you. It's all because of you listening and sharing that that's possible, and it makes this totally worth it. On another note, I mentioned this in last week's episode, but we did create a Facebook group for anybody in the community who identifies as male. It's the men's Facebook group. And we got a few requests for that. So you can find a link below of how to join if you're wanting a sacred space where you can start to meet up with your fellow men. I love that you requested that, and I think that's really cool and exciting. And when you do get that second newsletter every month where we really put together a way to connect and talking points of how to lead your own magnetic village with your community, use it, because that's cool. And it's so great for every person and gender to do that. I think it really speeds up this process, takes it deeper, helps take away the gray area where you have questions because you have other people who can help answer those, helps you hold yourself accountable to passing tests, all that good stuff. So thank you. Another great thing is anybody who will be in the San Francisco area on July 27th, I'm going to be at an event with Almost 30 speaking and doing a podcast episode, a live recording, and just a huge speaking event where you can come with your questions and all of that good stuff. There's a link below. So I can't wait to see you guys in July in San Francisco. I'm really excited for that. We're also going to be releasing our speaking tour dates very soon, which will be East Coast, West Coast, and Europe. So stay tuned for that. And last but not least, another thing to tune into this next Monday is that we are going to be releasing the next newsletter that has our latest theme with the roadmap of how you can go through the workshops the way that we will. We're taking a look at desperation. We started to notice a pattern within the community that a lot of us are, I believe that a lot of people find manifestation in general because of that desperation, energetic, trying to figure out how to get the thing you need in your life the most or you desire the most the quickest. It's this desperate energy. Honestly, it's what helped me crack the code of manifestation because I lived in such desperation in every aspect of my life, from being the doormat and dating, the toxic jobs over and over, entry-level jobs, poor, I mean, all the things. So I know that that's how people can find this in general. Another thing we noticed too through a lot of the supported questions are people are really afraid of making mistakes because the energetic beneath it is they're so desperate to perfect this in order to get their manifestations quicker. So this whole month, we're going to be giving out that roadmap of how to use the pathway tools to just nip, you know, it in the bud, the desperation, because underneath desperation is always scarcity, fear, or low self-worth. And so those are blocks. So if we can take a look at, and there's always something we're kind of desperate for in our lives. Mine is obviously, you guys hear it on here all the time, figuring out how to have a baby. And obviously that'll work out the same way all the other things I've manifested in my life have worked out. However, if we can take a look at that one thing or many things we feel desperate for and look beneath it, to see what the energetic is we're actually projecting and unblock it through the workshops, that actually creates space for us to manifest. So we'll be doing that in group. If you're not signed up for the newsletter, make sure to sign up because that'll come to you free in your inbox on Monday. So let's get into another My Magnetic Story where the community shares exactly what they've been manifesting through using the pathway tools. This one's a job one. I'm actually really excited for this because I think anybody is capable of doing this. I love that they didn't actually articulate what type of job it is because they walk through the tools and the process they use that every single one of you can use the exact same way to get your dream job situation. They use the word tribe a lot. I know that's a very sensitive word. I know energetically they're getting at, which is a deep sense of community. However, there is the word tribe in there. So if it is triggering for you, you may want to tune out for this just for this little segment. I had my first big manifestation come through this week since doing Lacey's work. I started with formula 2 months ago and then went straight into reparent. I've been sick of the industry I'm in, specifically my current job, and really needing clarity on what my next path was. I wrote down my list of what I wanted in my next career move and what I knew I was good at. Very general points and no specifics on industry, just things like salary, flexibility, etc. While working through reparent, one of the hypnoses has you look into your past life and purpose. I saw myself as a leader of a tribe, which I thought was maybe my imagination, but I kept seeing the word tribe, leader of community is what it represented to me, throughout the DI. I wrote that word down, but I forgot about it. I applied everywhere for about 6 weeks and nothing was sticking. I finally got to a breaking point with my current job about 2 weeks ago and I decided I had to tell them that I was leaving, but would remotely freelance for however long I could. I had to get out of the toxic environment and shortly after, two great opportunities popped up. They both aligned with many things on my list and both initial interviews went well. Things at work worsened and I just couldn't imagine freelancing. I decided to trust in the universe and fully resign, hoping something would come through when I let go of this current situation. And a day or two after, I had the second interview with one of the companies that was everything on my list. I met some of the girls that would be on my team, and they mentioned how they called themselves a tribe. I didn't realize it at the time until I went home. I couldn't believe it. I opened my journal and was in utter shock. When I saw the word, I almost started crying. Everything about the process was so easy and effortless, and I got the job. So excited and nervous and very much still in shock, but this shit does work. Yeah, I really love that. So anybody, the thing about the Formula and Magnetism workshop, which is in the pathway, if you don't know or you're not familiar, you're new to this, it's applicable to manifesting basically anything in your life. And so this is a really good example how somebody was in a situation where they were having low self-worth, feeling small, made to feel small. They were doing the work through reparent to unblock it, again, going into their limiting childhood beliefs and redoing them. They got to see through the hypnosis, my deep imaginings. They got to see what their soul really was craving and desired. They made a list from it and they jumped off the cliff, you know, and I'm assuming this person had a fuck you fund or maybe, you know, something supportive that they felt confident enough to be able to do that. But you saw when they jumped off the cliff and they still played it a little safe that they would do freelance, everything was kind, there was, you know, opportunities sort of coming through, but not entirely. In the moment they went, okay, universe, I totally trust you. I've seen through many expanders, those two initial interviews, that this is possible. So I'm going to fully jump off this cliff and really, really, it's kind of a magic dart, like really give my trust over to you and I won't settle for anything less. Bam, the offer came through. Everything on the list, all very easy and effortless was something you heard. That's exactly how it feels when you manifest a partner as well, the right partner, rather than tests. So I think that this was a really cool outline of exactly how the process works. So anybody who's interested in manifestation or you're new to this, you would head to the pathway and check it out. And just a huge congrats to the person who got that. It's possible for anybody, and I'm just so proud of you. Stay tuned till the end of this episode. I'm going to answer one question, which I do from my class, which is supported every 2 weeks. I end up answering everybody's manifestation questions, and it's a little taste of that at the end. Today's episode is going to inspire you greatly. It'll be very expansive to you if you've ever gone through a really hard and painful, whether it's autoimmune or health issue, and you've had to surrender entirely to find love for yourself in that state of being in order to start healing it. It'll be very expansive because this person has completely healed theirs and has to manage it still today. You'll find it expansive if you're a projector. You'll find it expansive if you've been wanting to start a really successful company and literally have zero experience, but everything in your soul is telling you that this is what you need to do. You have no funding, no experience. You're going to find that part incredibly expansive and so much more. A few episodes back, you heard me speaking to founder of Blue Blocks, Andy Matt. And in the episode, I go over how I've healed my hormones through alleviating all non-native EMFs, as well as protecting myself from blue light in the evenings. I'm actually super opposed to talking about products on the podcast, but this is one that I think is completely instrumental, like I said on that podcast episode, especially to my female listeners for their hormone protection. I talk about how I've completely healed my hormones from doing the two things I stated above. And a huge component of that has been using Blue Blocks glasses, the red ones, the red lenses in the evening. So I do that as soon as the sun's setting, I throw them on. And in the day, I wear the yellow lenses that are kind of in the cool 50s retro Ray-Ban frames. And I'll also carry around, which I think are super chic, the clear lenses in my purse at all times. I do the really big aviator ones so that that can also help protect me throughout the day, especially when I'm in front of the computer or I'm in front of, you know, my screen. Otherwise, I'm without fail protected in the evening with the red light protection. Now, for you who are still questioning, I highly recommend you go back and listen to that episode. It's Andy Mant, founder of Blue Blocks. And these are the only blue light glasses that are backed by science that actually work. So that should be really reassuring. And they obviously, as I've suggested, have daytime and nighttime lenses. And what's really cool and actually held me back for a long time and Max is that they do prescription. You shoot them your prescription and they'll make you the prescription or non-prescription and readers, whichever you need. It's free shipping all around the world. And you can even send your own frames that you love of whatever glasses you have and they'll add their lenses to it too. Again, please to my women listeners, all of my listeners, but especially who are dealing with hormone issues, who are dealing with sleep issues, you will notice a difference immediately from using these. I would suggest even after a couple of days, which is what I noticed. Go ahead and use the code MAGNETIC, that's capital MAGNETIC, for 15% off at checkout. And that's Blue Blocks, BLUBLOX. And you can find those in our show notes below. Go heal your hormones. Welcome back to the Expanded Podcast. I think I have a co-founder of everybody's favorite spot in East Los Angeles on today, Casey Carter, co-founder of Honey High.
That's
we can hear like the drum roll. Everyone's like, Honey High! Welcome.
Hi, Lacey.
So nice to have you today.
It's the best.
I was just saying that we're probably going to cover everything we talked about yesterday and today before the podcast.
We were like, we should stop talking so we can actually get some of this on.
And put it on here. So we cosmically profile everybody. And so you're a Leo sun.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just found out you're a projector in human design.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on those?
Been really getting into that. Well, so I was saying this to you yesterday, but I was born and raised in Eugene, Oregon. So I was around a lot of hippy dippy shit.
Mm-hmm. The whole shebang.
Yeah, the whole shebang growing up. And I was like, I don't know if I'm into this. I'm not really sure how much I can get behind this, you know? So I think but I definitely identified with being a Leo, and that was very undeniable for me. But I didn't really allow myself to explore very much of that for a long time. And I've sort of dabbled in and out of things, but I'm really science driven, data driven. And that's really like how my brain tends to function. But then I learned about human design and I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. I think that's everybody's reaction.
Stay off of like any of the message boards. And that's actually a piece of advice that I give to everyone, like about life as a nutritionist, like just whatever you do, just get off of the weird message boards on the internet, because I think that you can really spin out there. But, the information that I learned resonated in such a way that it was pretty undeniable, and I'm gonna take what I need from it, which is that like it gave me a lot of tools to understand myself and contextualize my experience growing up and how I got to the place that I am and the way that I function and the way I feel around other people, and just take it and roll with it and see how it affects my life, you know?
Can I tell you a funny joke that Max and I have?
Yeah.
So Max is from Portland, Oregon, so I feel like he has the right to have this joke. So anytime we're really trying to nab the energetics of like very crunchy hippieism, we always say, oh, that's so Ashland.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's
Are we
good.
Correct?
Yeah.
It's like Ashland. Well, also I have a body worker in Mariposa who I am like devastated that I'm losing her to Ashland. She's moving.
Oh, she's going to Ashland.
And she
with
also
the thespians.
Oh, the Shakespearean thespians. Fest, I mean, the whole shebang there.
I mean, I kind of feel that Eugene is more Ashland than Ashland.
Is it?
Or Ashland is more Eugene than Ashland.
Okay,
I don't know.
So does that need to be our new?
Yeah, Eugene is really crunchy. Like, wow.
And apparently I think, and we're getting off on a tangent, but I do have to say the body worker was telling, or I was out to dinner, I think, with her and a couple of people, and she was like, apparently there's a lot of lithium in the water there. So everyone's just like, so happy all the time.
Sounds great.
I know. So anyways, that's our little joke.
I'll take some of that.
Now we have to change
being
it
an Oregonian, I think, is just as defining as being a projector or being a Leo.
Oh yeah. I can imagine. Everybody I've met is a very specific energy from Oregon.
Yeah.
A beautiful energy.
Yeah. I felt like a little ashamed of it growing up for some reason. I felt like Oregon wasn't a very cool state to be from, and that it was kind of boring. And, you know, I was like, well, I want to be from California.
Yeah.
Apparently. So I grew up in Eugene, but I grew up in a very small town outside of Eugene. And I guess that when I was like 6 years old, I stomped on the stairs.
So Leo.
And I threw open the door and I said to my mom, I'm a big city girl stuck in this podunk town.
Well, where did you learn this?
I don't even know where I got that. I have no recollection of this, but I remember my mom told me that I very specific. So I always knew I was going to get out of Oregon, but now I'm like, wait, Oregon's an amazing place to be from. And it's
it
so
had
grounded
a great rebrand.
And,
whoever did that Pacific Northwest thing, really on point. Yeah. So give us your cultural upbringing.
I grew up in Eugene and I had a really awesome childhood. I felt like Eugene was one of those places that it was just big enough that you could find an identity, but small enough without getting lost in it, you know? So I had an amazing group of friends and we snowboarded every single weekend. And, I was really fortunate to have been, my parents are very globally minded and it was really important to them that we learned about all kinds of different cultures. And, so my mom and dad put me in an immersion program starting in first grade, and it is a public school, but it is half in Spanish and half in English.
Wow, so are you fluent?
I'm fluent in Spanish. Wow. I've been fluent in Spanish since I was in the third grade.
No way. I'm like, that was sign language.
Really?
I wish it had been Spanish.
Oh, cool. Yeah. That's a really great one.
It was
to have,
so random.
Though.
Yeah, we had two hearing impaired, though I don't think that's a politically correct term right now.
Okay.
You know, girls in our school.
Sure.
So everybody was required to learn, and it
was
awesome.
Wow, that's really cool.
So
I would have loved that.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I really feel that at the time, sometimes I would kick and scream about, like, I want to be in the regular school with the other kids, but it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And then that went through high school. And then also when I was in high school, I graduated with three different degrees. I graduated with my regular high school diploma, my Spanish immersion diploma, and then also this thing called international high school.
Wow.
Where, Eugene's a special place.
What is it? That sounds
really
incredible.
Cool. So what they did is we had this program in high school where every single year we would study a different region of the world. And then all of our geography classes would be about that region. Our history classes would be about their history. history. We would study their, you know, religion and their cultures and their customs, and read literature.
Oh my God.
So it was a really special program, and it instilled a love of other cultures in me from a time that I was very young.
Just imagine if the whole world did that.
It was steeped in compassion. Amazing. Really, and in perspective. And I'm so grateful for that, because I feel that it's really informed who I am as an adult, and that it's something I was raised with, and it's baked into the core of my identity.
Amazing.
You know? So yeah, we had a middle class life.
Yeah.
You know, we lived in a kooky old house that my dad built.
Wow.
Pretty much. It was like a tiny little farmhouse, and he's a contractor, and it kind of is like a witch's castle. It's got all these
my
crazy
dream. Yeah. Oh my god.
It's
gosh.
Really cool. Like a million different additions. And
what's that place where the woman kept adding onto the house? Where is it? Do you know it? Oh, I can't remember right now. And like kept adding wings and wings and wings. Everybody listening funny. Is literally like saying it in their car right now.
Okay, they know what it is.
Can't remember.
I don't know.
We'll have to put it in the show notes.
Yeah, so I always wanted to have, I remember like desperately wanting a white picket fence and carpeted floors and white walls. And our house was not like that, you know?
Are you a Capricorn moon?
No, I'm, what am I? My moon is in Libra.
So this must be, and that's very...
And I'm a Sagittarius rising.
This is very Libra too, but I'm just going to connect with that for one moment, because mm-hmm. it might be a projector thing, and you also help people, which we're going to get into.
Sure.
I remember being young and being like, ugh, mom, our house is a mess. Can't we just paint the walls this color and paint the outside and put these kind of flowers in it? I was wanting to make the world better and prettier, have what you want and need.
Sure, sure.
And she'd be like, no, we don't have the money. I'm like, we could do it ourselves, mm-hmm. you know? And I always attested that to my Capricorn moon, but that just might be the projectoriness, wanting to fix something very simple and easy.
Sure, it might be. I just more wanted to be like everybody else.
Oh, you
I
were felt, just wanting to be.
For me, I was like, who are we in this weird little house, and it's like other people live in like a nice new neighborhood and it took me a long time to own that and be like, wait, I'm actually from a really cool place. I'm from this teeny little country town. I grew up playing in the cornfields outside of my home and in nature, and riding my bike around and playing with all my neighbors. And it was a really wonderful childhood now. But at the time I felt a lot of, I had a lot of shame as a kid for sure. Yeah. You know?
What is your biggest, and then we're going to get into the things you do, but I'm just curious, what's the biggest, well, you do the work. So for people listening, mm-hmm. they can really identify, mm-hmm. what's been the biggest inner child block you've had to unlock, or the biggest profound unlocking you've had so far?
I realized that, wow, there's so many that it's hard. And I still feel like I'm at the very beginning of my voyage, mm-hmm. and I'm sort of tackling it with a lot of different tools. But yeah, I felt that I was too much my whole life, that I was too much, that I was too emotional, that I was too opinionated, that I was too passionate, that I was just overwhelming or annoying, or I had such a shadow around that, around being just who I was, mm-hmm. which was actually a very loving, open, enthusiastic, passionate person.
Yeah.
And for various different reasons, I had a really low self-worth about myself and what I deserve from people. So it took me a long time to see that I didn't know how to stand up for myself. I didn't know how to ask for what I needed. I didn't even know what I needed for a long time. I didn't want to cause conflict with anyone at any time. So I attracted a lot of people into my life who were abusive to me and who didn't respect me. And I was like, it's okay. I don't respect myself either. So why don't you just keep doing what you're doing to me, and I'll just keep coming back and I'll try to get you to see me. So this is where the projector thing has been really fascinating to me, because I'm like, oh, if I can just show you who I am, then you'll finally love me.
And you'll see how great and spectacular
I did that with this guy for like 10 years. And I was like, if I could just get him to see how great, and I, like, this person was, it was never going to happen.
Never,
it was
never,
insane.
Never, never.
Yeah. Trust me. I tried. I went all the way. So like self-worth, self-love, and knowing that I was actually worth so much more than that was something that took me a really long time, like into my 30s, to really understand. And honestly, it was getting sick and going through all these trials and tribulations that taught me who I am, that I am worth it. And this is exactly where I was meant to be.
Well, let's pivot to that, because mm-hmm. Honey High, for both of you guys, Caitlin and you, however, mm-hmm. you came at wanting to start Honey High, your sort of initiative was because there was nowhere that either of you could really eat.
Yeah.
Let's hear about it. Like, yeah. Let's hear the story of how, get into the illness, and then let's pivot into starting Honey
Sure.
High.
So I think it's an important story, and it's one that, so I'm a practicing nutritionist as well, and that's really where the impetus for Honey High came from in the first place, is I didn't want to just tell people what to eat. I wanted to show them how, mm-hmm. you know, and it's really difficult to just write something down on a piece of paper and expect people to try it. Like, you have to infuse it with,
yeah. Boy, was it hard.
No, it's impossible. So, and also to show people that, you never know where life is going to take you, and mm-hmm. something that seems like a really big disaster may actually end up being the thing that changes your life the most.
I think the
that
best.
Gives you everything. It's yeah.
Always.
Yeah. I didn't, and I felt like a victim for a really long time. So, to make a long story short, I had always been a really sensitive kid. I've been hypersensitive for as long as I can remember. And I also just ignored that as much as I could and tried to be like everybody else. So I ate a standard American diet growing up. As much as my mom tried to get me to eat healthy, whatever that meant, I was like, no, I want to eat chicken pot pies and Otter Pops yeah. and chicken fingers.
Fish
and I
sticks.
Ate, yeah, yeah. Like I Mac ate a Dairy cheese. Queen. 5 days a week.
I loved Dairy Queen when I was young. Oh, my God. Blizzard?
My favorite thing still. Okay. Chocolate Oreo Blizzard was my favorite.
Duh.
Done.
Yeah.
And then also I would get the kids chicken strip meal with the fries. And then I would mix the ranch with ketchup and dip the fries and chicken strips into that. And then I would get a grape Misty and a chocolate kitty cone dipped in
all
chocolate.
All at one time?
At the same time, every day, 5 days a week for
Holy
lunch for like 2 years.
Shit.
Yeah, it was really intense.
Who was getting you all of this?
Well, it was like $5.
Well, like, did you drive there, walk
yeah,
there?
Yeah, it was right around the corner from my school.
No wonder.
Yeah. So man. I ate a super shitty diet. And I also thought, like, I was a very active kid. I always played sports. And I thought that because I was skinny that I was healthy, mm-hmm. you know? And for whatever reason, like, my symptom wasn't weight gain. Mm-hmm. It was all kinds of other dysfunction that I didn't understand.
All
was
the
going
other
on.
Red flags internally.
Yeah. So I remember in college, I always had a rash on my chest all the time. And I was like, I have no idea what's causing this. And I always just like had IBS and my stomach was always really upset. I also had a horrible anxiety disorder and really bad obsessive compulsive disorder mm-hmm. that I came down with like my freshman year of college. So that was another tribulation, but I didn't understand why I felt so uncomfortable in my body. And then I went traveling throughout college. And then after college, I went on these big, long backpacking trips to South America and Southeast Asia and took off for like 4 to 6 months or mm-hmm. yeah, something like that. And I got so sick on these trips, like just devastated. I would eat the same meal as other people and get
it's the worst.
Be hospitalized with how sick I was.
This is like the story of my life.
Yeah. So my victimhood started seeping in at a very young age. Like it had already been there and it was modeled for me very much so in my family system. And then it was really easy for me to be like, well, this stuff happens to me and it doesn't happen to other people. Mm-hmm. So I'd started really building that story already and also totally. Making the correlation that like, I just was much more sensitive than other people, but I didn't want to be because I wanted to be like everybody else. And same. I wanted to be free and I didn't felt free.
Yeah.
I didn't feel free. So after I went on these trips, I got really sick and I almost died in Cambodia. I was like alone with a 106 degree fever for like 4 days, vomiting in a guest house. Like
from eating eggs.
I ate an egg and then got on this bus ride where I got heat stroke and food poisoning at the same time. And I was alone in this guest house. No one knew where I was. Like my family, my friends, I was off the grid. There was no phone, no internet, no doctor, just a guy who was like, we'll never forget. He was just wearing like flip flops and shorts and no shirt. And I went awesome. Down to try to get some kind of medicine with him. He didn't speak English. And he had all these people like sleeping in little cribs with nets over them because they had some sort of an illness and, mm-hmm. and it was terrifying. He handed me these pink pills and I was like, I'm not taking these. I don't know what's going on. So,
oh my God.
Really, really scary. Yeah. Really, really, really scary. I had to be hospitalized. That was a near death experience for me. And that's when things really started to rock bottom.
Oh my gosh.
Meanwhile, I was living in New York City at the time. I used to be a fashion stylist. Mm-hmm. I had this whole previous life before this where I was very unhealthy and sick. So I got back My body didn't work anymore. Mm-hmm. Everything fell apart. I spent 6 months at every single specialist in New York City, running every test, trying every elimination diet.
The place where everybody starts.
Yeah. And I was horrified and so scared. And I tried everything. Like, I had been a vegan. I had been a vegetarian. I had been a paleo. I tried every single diet under the sun to try to get better. And with each one, even if it didn't suit me, I learned different things from it. And then I would discard what I didn't need and I would keep what did work. And I started kind of like refining this process for myself. A very long story short, I'm again trying to make this long story even shorter than
I'm all ears.
So then I moved to LA and I knew that I couldn't live in New York anymore and that it was not assisting me in my healing path and that I wasn't necessarily aligned with what I was doing in fashion. And I got out here and I had been to all these Western doctors and they were like, "You're fine."
Oh, it's the same old story.
You're fine. Yeah. And so my biggest symptoms were that I had horrible eczema all over my face, like rashes that were like on my eyelids, on my chin, all over my cheeks. It would just spread like wildfire. I also had severe hair loss for like 4 years of my life, starting at age 24.
Thyroid.
And actually, I don't even think that it was thyroid stuff for me. I had a little bit of a sluggish thyroid, but it was mostly, I just think I was in such an inflamed state that the natural, you know, like growing and healing mechanisms in my body just, they paused, you know, like when you're really sick like that, your body has to redirect energy to the places that it needs it the most. And those were like my vital organs, you know,
like no reproduction.
Exactly.
No growth.
Yeah. My periods were gone. I had such severe fatigue, such bad anxiety and depression and, really bad acne. And I mean, my digestive system just didn't work. Mm-hmm. Like everything that I ate felt like I was going to, you know, like explode or implode or, you know, I just couldn't process anything. It was really scary. And what happened was I gave up and I had been struggling with this self-worth. Like, how am I going to love myself if my hair is falling out and I don't look like myself when I look in the mirror anymore? I don't see the vibrant young person that I used to be. I felt so limited and I mourned that for so long. And then, one day I went, okay, this is my reality. I can't get to the bottom of this. I've tried everything that I can. I've exhausted all my resources. I've been to every single doctor. And so what am I going to do? I just need to learn to love myself. I need to learn to love myself with no hair and with horrible skin and with, you know, like all kinds of inflammation in my body. And I need to still find a way to be okay. And then that's when everything changed for me is when I finally rock bottomed. Mm. That's when I found a functional medicine doctor who identified that I had
everything.
Yeah. Toxic mold, chronic Lyme disease, horrible leaky gut, really bad candida, you name it. Yeah. Like I was just like a toxic swarm of kind of everything malfunctioning in my body. And I went on this journey. And meanwhile, Caitlin, who's my business partner at Honey High, she was on her own journey with her health. And we really like walked through this fire together and we learned so much about food and about all the dogma that existed in food. And we were like, we really want to create a place that people could come and eat. Like we always knew we wanted to work together in some way. And we knew that like this type of food needed to get out there into the world. And so we hatched this insane business idea to start a restaurant, like with no restaurant experience.
You guys have like no real experience previously, right?
Like none.
And her dad came and like built out the space. Like it was really a grassroots.
Completely.
No, like so expansive for the people listening that it was literally just a dream.
It was something that we were passionate about and that I knew for myself that I needed to get this message out about healing yourself and about I saw through all of this how drastically, you know, just the only way to put it is how fucked up our food system is and how it's making everyone sick, especially communities that don't have access to any resources, you know, and like it's just we can't keep going like this. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Totally.
You know, so we were like, and then I really learned through this experience, I can't eat out at restaurants when I'm trying to eat in this way that is healing and supportive to my body, because restaurants are full of all kinds of practices that are really detrimental to your health and then also to the planet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they have the best intentions, but unfortunately many of the ingredients that they're using are really not health supportive.
Not knowing any better for the most part.
Right. Yeah. So we really like, I want people to know that all we had was, we had so much passion, overflowing passion and enthusiasm for what we were going to doing. We had a really healthy amount of naivete, which I'm really glad that we had, or else we would not have done this voyage.
I think most entrepreneurs do share that in common.
Yeah, thank God. I wouldn't have done it. Yeah.
How did you guys raise the money, get the space, like find the space? Like, how was that manifestation process for you guys?
So Caitlin started taking like business plan courses when she lived in Colorado at the time. And we would meet on Skype once a week. And we would dream about this thing that we were going to do. Mm. She would start coming out here because she had moved back to Colorado for a short period of time. This was 4 years ago, I guess. And she started taking courses on how to write a business plan. And we just kind of started making things up. And then we didn't have very much money. We put in some of our own money. We had to borrow money from family members. Mm-hmm. Not very much. Yeah, but it was like, can someone give us $2,000? Can someone give us $3,000? Like, you know, no one was like, I've got $500,000 for you. Here you go. Like, absolutely not. We implored absolutely everyone that we could for just a little bit of money, like my brother and her uncle and little people. And we cobbled this thing together because we didn't even know if it was going to work. And the space actually was a really cool thing. I would always go running past it because it's right in our neighborhood. And the reason why we wanted to do it in Echo Park was because there was really not a lot of places that we could eat. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's many places
to eat here, of course. Snack and get a juice.
Sure.
It's not like your quality where we can have meals.
Yeah. And the way that I make food at Honey High is, I think about it as a complete meal. Mm-hmm. Like, what are the components that need to be on that plate so that you feel satiated and you feel nourished and you also got tons of vegetables on your plate? And how do we source those things correctly? And, you know, because at a lot of restaurants you get like, I'll have the potato dish and it's two cups of potatoes.
Totally.
You know what I mean? And then you feel like shit after you eat it.
And it's
it was delicious, but it wasn't necessarily like, or you get like the steak, but it didn't come with, you know, all of a sudden it's like $40 to get the dish that you want to have.
Totally.
So we wanted to make it convenient and accessible and like we do all the thinking for you, you know? So I got off on a tangent somewhere.
Yeah, getting it off the ground.
But getting it off the ground. Yeah. So that was really where the inspiration came from. And we had to like kind of sell this idea to people. And so I would run past this location in Echo Park all the time. And I was like, it was already a juice shop. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, that place, you know, we looked at converting retail spaces into food spaces. And I was like, this place would be so great. It's right in the heart of our neighborhood. It's right on Sunset Boulevard. It had enough like heart. Like we didn't want something that was new and fancy. That's not us. Yeah. We're a little bit like grittier than that.
Totally.
So we just found this little place and it serendipitously really worked out that the people who were there, it wasn't happening, you know, and they wanted to get out of the business. So we had a really mutually beneficial exchange of the space. And we had a landlord who really believed in us, who gave us like a really good deal that would be impossible to find in Echo Park now, because she really loved the idea for the space. And, you know, we got in at the right time. We really did.
You guys are like some of the, you know, forefronts of gentrification.
Yeah.
Like you and what's his name? From
Gareth.
Yeah,
we wanted to try to make it as like respectful as possible to the neighborhood and the community, you know, but it's also really tough to create a product that's as high quality as ours. Like we get all of our produce from the farmer's market. I shopped the farmer's market myself personally for the last 2.5 years up until like a couple months ago.
Jesus.
Yeah. So we wanted to make the price point as affordable as possible while still using the highest quality of ingredients.
I still remember the Instagram post you guys posted where you're like, most of the places that say they use organic, you know, like you have to buy in such massive bulk, right?
Sure.
In order to even get affordable prices. And like you really broke it down. And for the person that could assume that Honey High is expensive, even though if you like look at your comparison restaurants that aren't nearly as healthy.
Yeah,
it's
for sure.
Right. And you know,
for
right
sure.
In the
many
running.
Places are charging just as much as we are. And it's definitely not organic
not
or
at
local.
All. At all.
You know, and it's a lot more work to do that. So I always tell, you know, I tell clients when I'm working with them about like, if you're wondering whether or not something's organic on the menu, like they will tell you because they're paying that much more money for it. And if it doesn't say that it's grass fed or that it's pasture raised, then I promise that it's not. Cause otherwise you'd be screaming it from the rooftops to justify like how much
price.
Work you had to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not just the price, but the effort that it takes to source that way.
And that
you
it's
to really
also,
care about it.
Those are huge marketing points now. So they're really saying it too.
Yeah. Which can be, you know, frustrating, but at least it means the world is moving in a different direction.
That's true.
With a little bit more awareness, even if people are doing it imperfectly, at least it's some kind of progress.
So I'm quickly interrupting this episode that I hope you're finding very expanding to tell you about a special offer that you won't find anywhere else but here. So with the code JOURNEY, that's capital J-O-U-R-N-E-Y, simply put that in order to receive your first month off free for the pathway or 10% off any of the a la carte. And once you're in the pathway, there's a suggestion of exactly what you should follow, starting with a formula and magnetism workshop, moving into reparent and shadow, and then you'll move through if you're calling in a career opulence, you'll move through partnership if you're calling that in, and of course, everybody should be doing the daily reprogramming exercise. The beautiful thing about the pathway as well is that you will have access to the Facebook group, which is the like-minded community you've probably been manifesting, and it gives you access to all of the Unblock villages that are meeting up around the world, so you'll be able to find one in hopefully your neighborhood, and you get full access to my class, which is twice a month called Supported, where you can write in any question you're having about your manifestation process or manifestation in order to have me answer your question. Enjoy the rest of this episode.
What do you think that you and Caitlin today would tell you and Caitlin a couple of years ago opening the restaurant?
Oh God. I'm so
like, what would you say to have made it easier?
That this is going to be long, it's going to be hard, you're going to sacrifice a lot of yourself, things that you never thought that you would sacrifice, and you're going to have to do that, but that it will all be okay. Mm. You know, and you will meet the people that will come onto your team after much trial and tribulation. You will meet the people who are meant to be there, mm-hmm. and who will seamlessly blend into what you're doing and help amplify it. Beautiful. I didn't know. I was so scared when we started. Like, I remember the day that we opened. I was like, what am I doing? Like, I worked at Erewhon for 6 weeks in the kitchen. Yeah. That was the only professional cooking experience that I had.
Wow.
So I had a lot of, like, I taught myself to cook completely. Yeah. I didn't go to culinary school. I'm a chef.
When I was a chef, there was nothing that could teach me what I was doing at the time. Exactly. That was before people were making like bone broth and sprouting and I was doing that.
Well, and I had a really hard time owning being a chef for a long time too, you know, because I was like, I didn't go to culinary school and I didn't like serve as the, you know, sous chef at blah blah blah. And now I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Yeah. It's my restaurant. Totally. And this is what we did. But that was a shadow that I majorly had to own, you know, was like feeling like I was a fraud or that, you know, but it's our experience. It's our experience and it's our point of view. And that's what we brought to it. And that was really, I would tell myself, like, you know, it's going to be really challenging, but you're going to do it.
You're going to do it. Oh, I love that. What do you think has been the biggest failure you guys have made so far?
Oh my God, where do I start? That's another thing I tell myself. You're going to fail at so many things and that's okay. It does not mean it's the end. It does not mean that this business is a failure or that you personally are a failure just because you're going to experience failure. I think we failed at anticipating just what our needs would be, you know, like many things turned out to be far more expensive than we anticipated. We failed at judging people's characters when that came to employees and people who worked for us and different leaps of faith that we took, but it was all in the service of learning.
Oh, you have to. These are the biggest gifts. They're the biggest gifts.
Yeah. We really like, and I failed to delegate for a really long time. I just thought that I could do everything myself. Yeah. And I thought that I could do jobs that were not suited to my personality or to my strengths and skills. So I did a lot of things for a long time where I didn't feel like I was in my skin, you know, but ultimately it was really good because it taught me like certain things about being assertive and being, you know, like I had to manage a whole entire, you know, kitchen full of cooks when I didn't like telling people what to do.
So
and I had a hard time punishing people or just giving them even constructive feedback, much less when you have to like fire a crazy dishwasher or something like that, which I had to do.
Hard.
So, you know, we certainly learned a lot of lessons there.
Man, I love it. I want to pivot into something fun really quick because I've gotten to witness you go through a breakup with a partner and manifest and call in another partner.
Yeah.
And I think it's really expansive for people because I haven't had the pleasure of meeting him yet, but he just seems so kismet and wonderful. Can you tell us about that process?
It was really kismet. So I dated unavailable men my entire life.
No.
That was my MO. Completely. Yeah, you can't believe it, right?
Every person listening like identifies with that.
I just like loved the cool guy, and I loved the like really talented guy, and I loved all these people who are never going to see me or recognize me, and I put so many people on a pedestal. And I had an important relationship that was really expansive for me, where ultimately like it was 100% not the person I was meant to be with, but someone who taught me a lot. He taught me a lot about like just being cared for, and someone who showed up, and someone who was like active in the world. And I'm really grateful for him for that, even though, you know, it ended and that was fine. And then I kind of just took a break from dating for a while. I went through a pretty hard time in my life where I had a death in my family and I was grieving a lot. And I just realized that like, I needed to put the focus back on myself and on what I was doing. And like, I finally reached this point where I just was like, I care about Honey High and I care about Casey and this is what I'm going to do. And then boom. and what's so interesting is I had pursued people for much of my life, and my boyfriend found me at Honey High, and he was a regular, and I sort of didn't really notice him. And then he was like, I had noticed you for quite a while, but I wasn't quite ready yet. And I wasn't in a position where it was the right thing in my life. And then actually it happened to be on his birthday that he was having brunch at Honey High, and then he gave me his number.
And he's a Virgo.
He's a Virgo.
Is he a September Virgo?
He's September 1st.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
So yeah, we met on his birthday. He didn't even mention that it was his birthday until much later. And you know, like it was really organic, and it was the first experience in my life where it was all just like unfolding very easily. And I was very calm. I wasn't over
the crazy.
Oh my God. No, no. And all my friends are like, are you okay?
Yeah. Are you, like, yeah. You're healthy for the first time.
Yeah. I was like not overthinking and criticizing or, you know, I gave a lot of excuses for people because I knew that these, like many of the people that I dated before, I knew they were wrong, and I just needed to, justify it to myself, to other people. And I was like, oh no, there's just something about my boyfriend who, you know,
he's just like, yeah, eccentric.
It was just like a yes.
Yeah. I don't know. This it's felt the only like way a flow. I know how.
Yeah.
Did you have any tests come through before him?
I think I did, but they weren't anything that was enough to like, to derail me or make me think that was the one.
And who would have been your biggest expanders before him to show you that he was possible?
I mean, all of my relationships, because I think what I did is I dated different people who had aspects of them that I really loved.
Same.
You know? Yeah. And, but the other things were like, oh, no. No. This is like really not going to work.
What has been the biggest, well, just, I guess we got your biggest rock bottom because of health, and we got some good shadow.
Mm-hmm.
What has been your biggest expansive moment that you've had in life? Like a moment where you're like, I've arrived.
Honestly, for me, there's been so many things with Honey High where we've gotten to work with people that I just would have never imagined. Like we got to cater lunch for Dr. Mark Hyman's office, which was so incredible because he's such a major influence and person that I respect so much. And we got to meet his entire team and to feed them and to talk about our food and how aligned we are. And getting to know, like now when I go to the farmer's market, I always shop the farmer's market for years and years, and that's what I did every single weekend. And now when I go to the farmer's market, I go there and everyone, they're all my friends.
So
everybody.
Beautiful.
I have personal relationships with all the farmers and I have their phone numbers and, you know, like we give cards at the holidays, and it's this sense of community that like when I arrive there, I'm like, wow, I did it.
You're home.
I did it. And, to me, it's kind of the mundane things, not the like giant accomplishments that really rise to the surface. Like when I walk into Honey High and I see this team of people that are working
for us. You guys, like it feels like handpicked. It really does. Or like you manifested partners is kind of how it feels.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. We did.
It's such a good crew.
What's really cool is like this woman who we started working with, who's been just like an absolute lifesaver for us. She was like the missing piece of the puzzle. My therapist introduced me to her.
Thank you, therapist.
You know, like, jeez, and so was healthy. Like, oh, you need to talk to Teresa. Like, she's the one. And then it was like, we just have this incredible connection with her. She's so meaningful and so important. So it's these connections when I walk in and I see, like, from these health challenges mm-hmm. that I went through, that Caitlin went through all of these experiences, we built a fun, inviting, delicious place to go have lunch with your friends that's celebratory and that supports you in all the decisions that you're making in your life. And it's full of lovely, kind people. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a bustling thing that's going on 7 days a week, no matter where I am.
Yeah.
And that to me, like, it just floors me all the time. It's easy to forget it, but when I really open my eyes and walk in and take a look at what we've built and all the amazing people on our team and the people who've worked so hard to see this through and to make it a part of something that's just normal and every day. We had this freak idea. I was like, is anyone going to come to my weird island with all this, like, this strange approach to food that I have, like, when I cook? And I am so flabbergasted all the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
And for you, what was your biggest doubt? Both of you, Caitlin. I mean, it's hard to speak for somebody else.
Yeah, sure.
But what was, like, the greatest doubt that prevented you or maybe delayed you from starting it as quickly as you would have or held you back, like the shadow?
Fear of money. Mm. That was we were so scared of spending any money mm-hmm. at the beginning. We didn't spend any money on anything. We didn't pay ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, I lived off of nothing for a very long time. And we were just terrified about having enough money and closing. And what if we couldn't do it? And, you know, we had our hearts in it and it always ended up working out. Mm-hmm. We had to have a few experiences with losing money and seeing that the way that we were doing things was not the right way.
It's too tight.
But we were able to really catch it. And it was a learning experience again mm-hmm. where it was like, okay, well, what do you need? Who do you need to bring onto your team? Cause you can't do everything yourself.
Awesome.
So yeah, the doubts around money were really scary and just doubting not having enough experience, mm-hmm. doubting that I needed more skills in order to be like I mentioned, like this imposter syndrome I had about being a chef. I didn't trust my own instincts mm-hmm. and my own ability to create food that came from my heart. I felt like it needed to look like other people's food. And once we got into the food world, I started comparing myself to other chefs and other restaurants and thinking that I needed to do more of this. And if only I had this experience, then that's not the way that I cook. Mm-hmm. It's not the way that I think. It's not the way that I feel. And letting go of that has been the most powerful thing I've had to do. But I had to go through it and experience it.
Oh, I hope everybody listening really absorbs that. Because for anybody who has an idea or a dream or something that's channeling through them, I mean, everybody experiences those.
You don't need to be perfect before you start. I'm a recovering perfectionist.
Me
and
too.
It's the largest struggle in my life, honestly. Yeah. And like, there's so much that goes into that, but you're never going to be exactly where you think. It's like when people are like, you won't be ready to have kids. You just have to do it. Like, you're not going to be ready for your business either. And you're not going to have all the skills. But if you're a smart person, if you're an aware person, if you're doing work on yourself and you're being painfully, brutally honest about what your shortcomings are and when you need to ask for help, then you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know?
What are tests that you're coming up against in life right now?
Biggest tests that I'm going through right now are trying to figure out what direction to go in now. You know, like, we're wondering about what the next steps are for Honey High. Do we expand? Do we think about multiple locations? Do we, you know, bring people on here or there? How am I going to work with my nutrition practice while also running a restaurant? Like, there's a lot of things that are coming up right now about, like, which direction do I want to go in and which feels right for me, for my particular skill set, for my passions, mm-hmm. like, where are they aligned? And each one of us in the business is having to ask ourselves that question, you know?
So beautiful when you guys are in the same spot. It means something big wants to come
It's
through.
Really cool. So, you know, like, Caitlin is really taking the charge on our sustainability as far as, like, all of our packaging and understanding environmental sustainability. And she's back in school.
And composting.
Composting,
right?
Yeah. Like, she's really led the charge on that and making sure that we are adhering to all of, you know, like, everything that we need to be doing to be the most modern and sustainable business that we can be, mm-hmm. taking all the extra steps. Like, whereas my focus has always been more on nutrition mm-hmm. and on working with people And we're trying to figure out how to spread our message. So right now there's a lot of things that are coming up that like could take us really far in this one direction or in another direction. And we have to really like stay grounded and ask ourselves what it is that we're supposed to be doing, you know, that aligns with each of us.
Totally. I love you that. Know? What's the biggest thing you've manifested lately?
Let's see. I really wanted to get some more experience in cooking, right? Mm-hmm. But I knew I wasn't going to go back to culinary school, and I wasn't really sure what that was going to look like. And through some kismet different experiences and people that I was in contact with, I ended up getting an internship at Chez Panisse.
No way. When do you start?
In August.
You're going to be up in Berkeley.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And you're going to live up there for a while?
For a month. And it's my favorite restaurant.
Oh, everyone.
My most, like, my biggest expander ever is Alice Waters.
Oh my God. Yes.
You know, with everything that she's done as far as like returning
even the garden
Americans.
Project.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, the edible schoolyard, everything that she's done is so important. And this is like, Chez Panisse is the ultimate pinnacle of what it is that we're doing.
It's the originator too.
It is. Yeah. Like they started, well, they didn't start because it's always been there. We just lost it. But you know, like the work that Chez Panisse did in returning to local farmers and seasonal cooking and more intuitive, like simple food. That's not like crazy fancy and culinary. Cause that's not really what I'm interested in.
Yeah.
It's the perfect place.
Oh my gosh. I've had friends work there. Everybody raves. They all have said it's amazing. There's so much education.
Yeah. It's a teaching kitchen and it's one of these places where I'm going to get to go and have this experience that's so huge.
Congrats.
I'm so excited about
that's it. That's amazing.
So that's probably the biggest one right now.
And you'll be near Ashley.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I was like, so great. Excited. I get to hold your baby all the time.
Solomon. I haven't even gotten to meet him yet.
I'm so excited.
That's incredible. Yeah. Tell us about your nutrition practice. I want to know what it's all about.
Sure. So I have a really different approach because I am not interested in dogma of any kind. I respect where everyone is coming from as far as like wanting to adhere to one specific nutritional principle. But in my experience, I just think that whenever you think you've found the answer, if someone is telling you like, this is definitely the way that it is, you need to go running as far and as fast as you can in the other direction, because I don't think that that's how we're going to make a difference in people's lives. So I really like to work with clients to help them figure out complex health issues, if that's what they're dealing with, or also just trying to create a more sustainable diet and to get in touch with themselves and the way that food actually makes them feel. Because this is something that you and I share in common, is this sense of self-worth and awareness. You can't know anything about yourself if you have no awareness about how, if we're talking about just food specifically, the way that a food makes you feel.
Totally.
But if you need to make a decision about, do I consume this thing or do I not? It comes back to self-worth.
Like, oh my gosh. Also, like, I believe even how we energetically and physically digest something comes back to self-worth.
Absolutely.
Like, am I worthy of actually taking in these nutrients?
Sure.
Do I believe that?
Sure.
On literally a cellular level.
Sure. So many of us are, again, like in all these areas of our lives, willing to settle for less, which is like, maybe settling for less means I just don't feel very good all the time.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted all the time. I really can't figure this thing out. I don't know how to cook for myself, so I'm just not going to do it. That feels too hard or too scary. And through like the practice, the program that I work with and I've devised through my own personal experience, and then have sort of like ironed it out while working with clients, is that nothing that I say really actually matters all that much. I give the blueprint and then it's about people having the experience themselves to determine whether something does or does not work for them and in which direction they want to go. And you can't ever take that away from someone, you know, like you will have it for the rest of your life. And to me that's the key factor in creating a sustainable long-term lifestyle shift. Cause a diet, like, I just don't necessarily agree with like being vegan or being paleo or being keto or being like, it's so restrictive.
Intuitive.
Exactly.
Yeah, intuitive eating.
And people have to learn to connect with their intuition.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunately something in our really totally destructive. Yeah. Like our food
society system
and the way that we've been eating and the way we all grew up, like that's not something that we
empowered in any way, shape, or
no.
form.
Yeah. No. So giving people tools like that enables them, like, cause you know, I eat in a certain way that feels good for me. It looks very different from how a lot of people eat. Mm-hmm. And I used to get a lot of shit for it. Mm-hmm. But
it's a whole nother like element of owning your worth.
Exactly. It's not caring what other people think about it. So it's a practice. It's a practice, and you do it through, you know, and there's a lot of different modalities that you can use to get to the root of that information. Like I use a lot of different short-term elimination diets and experimenting with different things. But ultimately it's like, I always tell my clients, it's what you do and it's what you feel that is going to make the difference at the end of the day.
Totally.
You know,
what does a session with you look like? Like, how's that even? What does that all look like?
So I have a program, which is a 4-phase program that people sign up for. And it consists of several different phases that sort of one builds on the other, on the next, and on top of that. And so we start out by, you know, doing a basic elimination diet. And I do a lot of like intake and health history and really understanding where people are coming from. And then I customize each thing for the person that I'm dealing with. You know what I mean? So if they have certain food restrictions that they're already working with, or they have certain intolerances or like a style of eating, then I'll work that into the program. And then we go through a couple different phases where you kind of like take different things out for a period of time. It involves a lot of cooking. I teach a lot of cooking skills and give a lot of cooking ideas, which is, you know, because that to me, like you see once you start needing to cook food for yourself, whatever, however that may look, which is really different for other people, but it's really hard.
It is.
And a lot of people are just intimidated by it. But I'm such an evangelist of simple food, and that's why I don't like these labels, because then you feel like you need to be this or you need to be that. And I work with so many people who are like for, I love to use this example. For years and years and years, I was obsessed with being like really plant-based, and I would make all these fruit smoothies, you know, and I would put like agave and bananas and like every single superfood. And same. And I felt the worst I've ever felt.
Same. It was at the height of all of my issues.
Yeah. It was at the, and I was so obsessed with what I was and what I identified as, and I couldn't do this thing because then it meant that I was a bad And, I don't like.
Lila can identify. We've all been there.
Yeah. I think it's a part, and I never.
What's
like,
it called? Orthorexia.
Just being obsessed with it. And it's just, sometimes it's really tricky when you have someone who comes to you with a complicated health problem, right? That we need to address the diet in order to relieve some of those symptoms, but not overemphasizing that and becoming obsessed with it. Like it's this balance that you have to have, you know what I'm saying?
Totally agree.
And I just want to teach people it's not really that big of a deal. It's all about your relationship to it. It's all about your perspective. And if you can use food as a tool to get in touch with yourself and to find your own sense of self-worth and an awareness where you don't feel bad saying no to the thing, or you don't, especially if you don't feel bad saying yes to the thing.
Totally.
Because that's a part of it. Like, I want people to learn to be resilient with food, that they don't need to be this delicate little flower that can't ever be exposed to anything.
Totally.
And that we need to avoid it for the rest of our lives. But you have to develop your own relationship with it. And hopefully we can get the body to a place where it's strong enough and resilient enough that it's able to tolerate those things again. And on occasion, and you can have more freedom, but the freedom comes from knowing what your boundaries are with things.
Amazing.
That's all.
What have been some of the cool success stories you've had?
Oh my God,
lately?
So many. It's just, I get emotional.
Isn't that
just
the most
thinking
rewarding
about it.
Thing on the planet?
It is.
Oh, so rewarding.
We had a regular who came to Honey High, and he's just the funniest guy. He's so great. And we did the program. We worked the program together, and then that sounds like a 12-step
program. It does. It sounds like
we worked
those
the program,
work well.
Which I also do.
Totally, me too. We're both in Al-Anon for sure.
I love Al-Anon. Like that's something I would like everyone to know about is how important
Al-Anon
is.
I'm also like,
yeah,
do that.
Sure,
everybody,
it's amazing. But he just took it and ran with it. And he was someone who had a very poor diet coming in, and he knew that and was like, I just don't know what to do about it. He was a guy, like he's single. He didn't cook anything ever. And the light in his eyes now is so different. It's not about, I always say it's not about weight. I don't care. Like weight, whether you gain it or you lose it or what, it's a byproduct of being healthy.
Totally.
I just care about like you getting to
vibrancy
in a state of homeostasis within your body and knowing what that feels like. So it doesn't matter what you weigh. Mm-hmm. I don't count calories. I'm not interested in any of that information. Mm-hmm. It's all about how you feel. So he ended up losing weight, but that was a byproduct of just like this renewed sense of light in his eyes and in his spirit that And he's so happy now.
Wow.
He's really happy now because he's in touch with himself. And again, it goes so far beyond diet. Like, the food is just this way. In the same way for me, getting sick and being forced to learn all these things about food is what ultimately ended up changing my life, aligning me with my purpose and my, you know, this business and all the things that we've created and all the things, like, I met my boyfriend through my totally. Business, like, all these things that have happened to me would have never happened if I hadn't gotten sick and then used food as my doorway into learning about myself, learning how to take care of myself, learning how to then ultimately share that with other people mm-hmm. so that they could benefit from it as well. So it's just an opportunity, and it'll open so many doors in your life the second that you start to look at yourself. This is all the same Absolutely. Work.
Same work.
Isn't it amazing?
It all transcends to everything.
It's we so all cool. Do.
Like, the moment we can, like, lift the veil, get rid of the blocks, expand and not settle, that's when we have what we want.
Yeah.
And, like, using rock bottoms sure. as our greatest gift.
Exactly.
All of my rock bottoms are my greatest gifts now. They oh all my God. To what I
yeah,
do.
I would choose them. I never thought that I would say that. I would choose them over and
me
over
too,
and
me
over
too,
again.
Me too. No, I mean, they were so painful, but yeah. I'm so thankful for them.
Yeah, you know that more are coming.
Oh, I can't wait. Every time they do, I'm like, ooh, something really big wants to come through.
I know, yeah.
So it's cool.
Totally.
How
totally.
Do you receive what I call pings, your intuitive downloads? How do they come through you, or feel, or smell, or taste, or sound?
I'm still working on that. Because honestly, that's a struggle for me.
Okay.
Apparently, in human design, I'm a splenic authority.
What is splenic again? I forget.
It's like the oldest system in your body okay. that responds to the environment
right
so
away.
It means right away, and it tells you once. It doesn't use words. It uses a feeling and tells you once, and it never tells you again.
I
it's
think
intuition.
That's what Dara is. Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay. like it's intuition. Oh, Barley.
She knows Honey High's here. Oh. That the food arrived.
Yeah. But
we legit had Honey High delivered while Casey's yeah, here because Lila and I eat it every day.
Well, that's the coolest thing in the entire world. Also, so yeah. special. But yeah, no, I think apparently it's intuition.
Yeah.
So I think that comes through for me, and a lot of times I ignore it and I'm learning to listen to it a little bit more.
What are what are your kind of tools you're using? Because a lot of people write into us and they're like, what's the difference between intuition or my ego? And I always like to ask people, like, what are you doing to develop that skill more, to listen to it more?
I'm trying to slow down in my life because I'm a busy addict. And I recently just went through a phase where, you know, like, we did what we needed to do to get Honey High off the ground and get it to where it is. But I worked myself into the actual floor, you know, and to a point where I was left very depleted. Even someone who knows as much about health and about taking care of themselves as I do.
Well, you had a relapse, right? Like,
oh,
what
yeah.
do you call it?
Yeah, I would call it a relapse in some
right?
ways. Like, yeah. I had, at my sickest, I had 35 different food allergies, and a lot of them have cropped up again.
Jeez.
You know, and just a lot of fatigue, and I've had some hair loss come back and things like that. We're just like abnormal shedding that's
yeah,
like too extreme
like.
For me, which hasn't happened in years. And it's because I wasn't taking care of myself. So
totally.
What I do is I get really busy and I'm buzzing around all the time and trying to be at 10 places at once. And that's not what I'm meant to do. Mm-hmm. That's not what I came here to do. I have to slow down. And when I'm more in touch with myself, when I'm having more fun, mm-hmm. like when there's more of a sense of play in my life and not like thinking that I need to fix everything. In Al-Anon, they say, I know that I'm in my problems when I think that I can solve everything by 6 p.m.
Totally.
I can fix my entire life by 6 p.m.
Completely.
And I love to do that.
Yeah.
So when I'm living that way, I completely miss my intuition.
Mm-hmm.
It is my nature, but I've gotten so far away from it at times in my pursuit of working and wanting to make a difference and wanting to change the world, that I see that the best way of doing that is actually by slowing down,
mm-hmm.
by taking care of myself. And then I can hear, it's very clear for me, you know?
Such a good message for everyone listening.
Like, slow down.
Yeah, and every projector especially listening. Such
yeah.
a good message.
I like this system because I always try to be like everybody else and wonder why I can't keep up with it. So then I try even harder.
Totally. And everything just goes worse and worse.
Yeah. And guess what? As soon as I slow down and chill out, things actually come to me a lot. Like, that's how all the ideas for Honey High and everything happened at a time when I was slowing down, when I made a decision to quit fashion, to take more time to be with myself and yeah, but you go through seasons in your life.
Totally.
Like, what was I going to do? Just totally be slow all the time that Honey High was like getting off the ground. around.
That's the same as people in postpartum, like newborns. Yeah. You can't, what are you just not going to feed them and wake up every couple hours?
So you know that you're going to, you need to develop some sort of tolerance for it, but then you kind of need to know, like what happened is I think I went like 6 months a little too far in the wrong direction. Like 6 months ago, I could have started to slow down a little bit and I didn't. I kept going. So I you remember just have to listen.
There were warning signs. You were like, my adrenal, you had those and that you kept going. And,
oh yeah. Yeah. Now I love to go.
Yeah, me too.
I just love to go.
I'm right there with you.
So that's why I love watching what you're doing, because you're like really someone who's embodying slowing down and making different decisions in your life. Yeah. But God, every step really counts, doesn't it?
It really does. It really, and I can like speak to that. I just shared yesterday on Instagram that like I'm 99% healed.
I know.
Now.
I'm so
I mean, I can
happy
have fucking chocolate again.
That's
this
so
is
crazy.
I'm going to try booze. I'm going to try one drink just to see what happens. I mean, I'm going to give that time till I go back to the country.
Yeah. Sure.
I don't want to do everything in 1 week.
No,
in LA.
I know. And then not know what's going on.
Forget it.
Get a bottle at Psychic Wines and bring it.
Who was that?
Psychic Wines is so amazing. It's in Silver Lake and it's a natural wine shop.
Look, I haven't drank for so long. I have no clue.
Yeah, it's really cool. And the owners are so awesome and they know everything about natural wine. They're really, they're really fantastic.
So it's all the biodynamic.
Yeah, like beyond all of that.
Allie says really that never messes with her when she drinks any biodynamic, organic, all that stuff.
Yeah, I find... I don't really drink very much, but
neither,
if
obviously.
I do, like certainly I will have that over like a sugary cocktail or something.
Oh God,
like that.
Yes.
I'd rather just have a whiskey than
that's
a sugary
what I used
content.
To do. It was just scotch and whiskey is all I drank.
I love whiskey.
It was so nice.
Yeah.
So.
We'll
I mean,
back
I worked
there,
at the
Lacey.
Thirsty Crow. So
you
like,
and I are going to, you did?
Yeah.
Stop it.
For a year,
that
like two
so
or
funny.
3 years, but just like one night a week. I was cocktailing.
Oh, I love that.
Or maybe 2 years it was. Yeah.
So my goal is that you and I are going to reach this point in our lives where we're slowed down enough that we're going to enjoy a nice glass of whiskey together at the Forest House.
We'll do it at the Scotland House, like in the Highlands, proper whiskey with a fireside. Done.
Wow.
We're manifesting this.
I'm done.
Are you a specific or non-specific in human design manifester?
I'm specific.
Oh, great. So
is that good?
Yeah, it's, that's. I mean, they're both great, but that's what I am too. Barley's losing it for anybody listening. She's like, please, can I have the salmon bowl? Can I have the salmon bowl?
She's so cute. I'm a specific manifester.
Perfect. Well, we're just going to call that in right now.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
What? Where can we find you?
You can find me at Honey High.
Yes.
In Echo Park. And on our Instagram at Honey High. And then also my Instagram, which is at Casey Carter, KACIE, and CaseyCarter.com, where I've got a lot of stuff about my nutrition practice.
Excellent. We'll have it all in the show notes. Yeah. That's so exciting. Congratulations
cool.
for everything.
Thank you.
And everybody
you
listening, you can do it too.
You can do it too. If I can do it, anyone can do it, I promise.
That's how I feel.
That's seriously the truth.
We'll have a good weekend to everybody listening, and we'll see you. We'll not see you technically. We'll speak to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This week's supported question is, I find when I'm writing my list of what I want to call in, it feels like I'm writing a to-do list. Is this correct? I'm beginning the very early stages of starting my own business. I'm trying to create a list of what progress I want to see in the next few months. And a lot of those things can look like launching a website, research vendors, you know, they're like to-do things. Am I approaching this in the right way or the wrong way? I'm assuming if you're writing this, you're definitely in the formula of magnetism, or you've been in the formula of magnetism, because in a day we go extensively in how to write a list if you're specific or non-specific. And there are very key things we talk about in there, like when you're calling in, it's from a place of core essence, your core soul needs. It's also about leaving out the fluff, you know, under 6 to 9 months. So make sure if you haven't done the formula magnetism, you absolutely have to, so you understand how to really craft your list correctly if you're a specific or non-specific manifester. And the simple answer to this is no, you're not approaching it correctly. So it's a lot less when you're making a list about progress you want to reach. It's a lot more about landmarks you want to surpass. So for instance, it's not about like checking off to-dos. It's about what your soul is wanting as a landmark. So say again, if when I was first starting the company, it was like featured by Goop, you know, for press. If I was calling in clients, it was a certain energy that I would be calling in about my clients. They're this type of person. They've gone through this. They really are ready to do the work. That was a huge thing. This is the number that I make for my sessions, you know, so not, it wasn't like, going to start a social media to get clients. See the difference? So make sure to go revisit absolutely the Formula Magnetism workshop within the pathway so that you really, really understand how to craft that list correctly. Because like what I always say is if you are wishy-washy about what you're calling in, you'll get wishy-washy things back. So in this instance, when you're writing a list this way of progress, what you're projecting to the universe is you're not totally fully in your worth and expanded for what you want to come through because you don't even believe, how do I say energetically, you aren't fully there yet, right? You're still talking about progress rather than the actual landmarks you want to pass or pass. I hope that's helpful. Revisiting the Formula Magnetism workshop should just totally correct this all for you right away. So thank you so much. Mm-hmm.